Hey, this is Mike Evans. Listen to every episode of Schlereth and Evans on demand at 1043thefan.com. Presented by Siltahara Motors, the home of the zero down with Chapter 7 and 13 bankruptcies. Regardless of your financial standing, no one should be without a vehicle. Visit the special financing section at sthmotors.com.
Ah, you 6 a.m. listeners, the best of the bunch. The best. Bar none. You know why? Because you're up early. Oh, Vaughn. Come on, Vaughn. Come on, Vaughn. You know.
I was just joking.
Come on. There it is. Ah, Vaughn. Vaughn. Vaughn had a good day yesterday, didn't he?
Did he?
Yeah. No? Yeah, the market that was set by J.J. Watt, unless you're telling me that J.J. Watt is clearly a superior player to Vaughn Miller, then I would take what J.J. Watt got yesterday and think that Vaughn's in that ballpark, no?
Well, I think you have to understand they're different. They play different positions. So, you know, I mean, to compare, I think what people do is they compare pass rushers, right? Well, Vaughn's a pass rusher and J.J. Watt's a pass rusher. They're similar in number of sacks over the last however many years. So they're the same, you know, they're the same guy, and they're not. Entirely different guys. And, you know, I mean, Vaughn coming off an injury where J.J. Watt, I think J.J. Watt was healthy last year, right?
Yeah.
So, I just, completely different. And I told you this months ago, or weeks ago, that I thought J.J. Watt is at this current stage of their careers, is a better player. So, just different players. I mean, I think the bottom line for Vaughn Miller is, you know, do you want to take a pay cut here or do you want to take a pay cut somewhere else where you have a chance to compete for a championship? Now, here's the crazy thing to me.
All right. So you think, wait a minute, hold on. Let's establish that. You think no matter where he goes, he will have to take a pay cut on the $18 million he's supposed to make this year.
Correct.
So you don't look at the Watt deal as what do you get? 2 years? $31 million, $23 million guaranteed?
Yeah.
So basically $16 million a year. So you think that Vaughn would have to take, what now, when you say a pay cut, do you say a significant pay cut? I mean, are we talking half of that? Are we talking $9 million guaranteed with incentives? Well, I mean, what are we looking at? Is he at least in the ballpark of J.J. Watt?
Well, I think the ballpark is, I mean, it depends on what you consider the ballpark. I think it'll be a little bit more of the incentives. And I think ballpark wise, if J.J. Watt's making $15.5 million a year, 23 guaranteed, right? Could Vaughn have a base of $13 million a year and, you know, 18 guaranteed, 20 guaranteed?
Okay. That's ballpark.
But here's the thing that surprised me. Here's the thing. And this is what gave me a little bit of pause about, you know, all the speculation. I heard Dan Graziani driving in today saying that financially it's easier to wait until June 1st to make a decision on Deshaun Watson. But then you're not getting draft picks until 2022. But it's financially, it eases the burden somehow if they decide just to hold on to him and he sits out. I think it probably is a cap situation for them, right? So for everybody thinks that they're just going to be forced into trading him before the draft. If that's the case, I don't think they're going to have, if it makes more sense to wait till after June, then, I mean, if you're going to wait till after June and then you're going to trade him, well, then you don't know what you're getting next year. So that doesn't necessarily make sense, right? But the reason I brought up Deshaun Watson is because nobody, not one person, no national, not Vegas, not anybody had J.J. Watt going to Arizona.
No, that team was never mentioned.
And based upon the division that they play in, nobody really thinks that they're a threat for a playoff berth. Because of Seattle, because of the Rams with Stafford, you know, I mean, it's because San Francisco is going to get healthy again. And they were a Super Bowl team before last year when they had everybody on their roster, including their quarterback injured.
So here are your options. Once again, they bear repeating. Mike Kliss will join us coming up in about 35 minutes. Talk a little bit more about that with him. But you've got the $7 million guarantee that you would need to exercise by March 17th. So you'd be picking up his $18 million option, $7 million of which would be guaranteed. That would still buy you some time to, as John Clayton writes, our senior Bronco writer at DenverFan.com, says that maybe picking up that $7 million guaranteed would be a good gamble to take, because then you can kind of buy some time to read, you know, how's his comeback from injury going? How's the offseason shaping up? All of that. So you've got that option. You got the option of going to him and trying to work out a new deal. Restructure, lower the cap hit, do that. Or you just say, nope, we're not doing it. See you later. You're George Payton. Not you're George Payton. You're Reed of George Payton. What do you think he does?
Well, I think they try to rework a deal that, again, is fair, that gives them some cap relief where he can make some money back on incentives. But I think they try to work out a deal with Vaughn before March 17th. But if Vaughn isn't willing to work out a deal, if he's not willing to, you know, renegotiate his contract, then I think you have to release him. You can't pick up the $7 million without having something already in place, because then it's you're on the hook for 18 regardless. So I don't believe you can just pick it up and say, hey, we'll try to work out a deal. I believe you've got to have a deal worked out before you pick it up. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
I believe that you've got to have some cost certainty. I mean, you have cost certainty right now. You know it's going to cost you $18 million, but you've got to have some cost certainty on the other side where you can renegotiate that deal and say, hey, we're not going to pay you that 18. We'll give you a chance to make it back, but right now we're going to drop you down to about 12.
All right, I want to get your thoughts. What do you think the Broncos should do when it comes to Vaughn? Hit us up on the RamosLaw.com text line, 303-713-1043. Nuggets win last night. Good win over the Bulls on the road. Boy, you see the beauty of Jamal Murray and Nikola Jokic when they're on. They scored 25 of the Nuggets' 29 points in the fourth quarter to take what was an 89-89 game at the start of the fourth, and went on to win the game. Another just MVP performance by Jokic. 17 points in the fourth quarter.
Have you noticed how many more times he's been dunking lately?
He's in better shape.
I think he's doing it because he's trying to make SportsCenter highlights. Like, I think he's dunking simply because if you're gonna truly compete for an MVP, you've got to be seen. And I'm not talking about the step back Euro, you know, 2-point rainbow.
Well, if that's what it's come to get on the highlight shows, that's a sad reflection of where the NBA is at right now. If that's how it's
100%
promoted.
True, though.
I get it, but it's still sad. The Avalanche had a 2-0 lead. They then proceed to give up 6 unanswered goals and lose to the Sharks last night.
Yeah, but one of them was an empty netter. So
5 unanswered goals. That mattered.
Yeah.
And the Rockies lost to the Dodgers 10-0. Get used to that. Okay, coming up. Are the Broncos in a position to be paying that much money to an older player? Should all their moves be youth-motivated? That's next.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors is the home of zero down. Regardless of your credit or financial situation, Siltahar Motors will help you get behind the wheel. People with poor credit or in bankruptcy can qualify for zero down and no payments for 45 days and be driving in their new car within hours of stopping by the dealership. Check out any of the cars Siltahar Motors currently has on site at sthmotors.com. Siltahar Motors is conveniently located at Highway 36 in Wadsworth, so regardless of your financial situation, Siltahar Motors will get you the car you deserve at sthmotors.com.
All right, reaction on the RamosLaw.com text line to the idea of what to do with Vaughn. Let's see. Some reaction here. Cut him, boys. His lack of leadership the last year and poor decision-making, along with the Stokely and Zach interview fiasco, it's time to go.
I think that's interesting. because I think there's some merit to that. Like, you're more apt as an organization to maybe hang on to a guy a year or two beyond his greatness simply because of what he brings value-wise in the locker room. I mean, we've talked about this for years. Vaughn has never taken the torch from DeMarcus Ware. You know, we talk about leadership. We talk about, you know, what we're going to do. It never seems to truly, it hasn't seemed to translate. And, hey, listen, that's okay. I mean, he's one of the happy action, fun, let's go get a defensive dinner, let's do all that stuff. But the bottom line is it never has seemed to truly translate to, and, you know, to wins and to, you know, I don't even know how to put my finger on it because, like I said, I've said to you many times, either it is either innate in you or it's not. And you don't have to be the best player. You know, I mean, sometimes the quarterback is just anointed the leader and sometimes the quarterback ain't really, you know, is not really good at that. And so then you kind of, you have this battle that you never really truly have great leadership at that position. It just is, it is like there's some people that are just born to do that, that are really good at it, and some people are just never going to be comfortable doing it. And I don't think Vaughn has ever been comfortable being that lead dog, you know? He just goes out and does what he does because he's great at what he does.
He's going to be a 32-year-old pass rusher coming off a serious leg injury that kept him out all last season. The Broncos are a team that I think are at least a couple years away from being a real contender. I don't see Von Miller being a part of the next really good Broncos team.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that every decision that is made right now has got to be made with the decision of, through the lens of, hey, we're trying to get younger.
Right.
We're trying to get younger. We're trying to get more dynamic. We've got a defense that needs to be sort of rejuvenated, needs to be reloaded. And I would rather use that money that I'm going to be able to save on Vaughn and give it to a younger veteran free agent.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to be able to come in here and be an impact player on the next really good Bronco contending team. I mean, to me, that it's as simple as that. It's just for where they're at right now and where I think they're going to be the next couple of years, holding on to Vaughn at that kind of a number, even if it's a rework number. Other than nostalgia, I don't see the real wisdom in it.
If you're sitting where Arizona is sitting, they were 8-8. They lost some close games. Obviously, they won some close games. They've got a young, dynamic quarterback. They've got, you know, an offense that's kind of unique to them. And you're looking at yourself.
They got a pass rusher in Chandler Jones that they'll have coming back next year.
Who was injured.
Look at his bookend guys.
Right, the two best pass rushers over the last decade, right? Chandler Jones is number one in sacks and J.J. Watt's number two, and I think Von Miller's number three. If you go back the last 10 years or 8 years or whatever it is. So I think if you're looking at that saying, hey, we were 8-8 without Chandler Jones, who missed, you know, a large chunk of the season. And then we add a J.J. Watt, and not only are we adding a guy who's a very productive player, but J.J. Watt is, you know, he's a great leader of men. Like, the effort with which he plays and the position that he plays, he is a disruptive force still. So, I mean, I would look at that situation, and they're sitting there going, hey, man, you know, maybe we don't, I mean, right now there's trouble in Seattle, right, with your quarterback. The Rams picked up the Rams don't look, they were 10-6 last year. They look like they got better at the quarterback position. They're an outstanding team. We got to do something to compete. And we think this makes us, you know, 2-3 games better with both of our pass rushers. So now all of a sudden we go from 8-8 to 11-5. Do we make the playoffs? Are we in? Feels like it. And that's a tough division now. It's a really tough division. But
I think there's a pressure there.
Right.
That they have to start delivering. Right? And I know Broncos country is frustrated.
Uh-huh.
Anxious, a little antsy.
Right.
I don't sense the same kind of wow, our window is open right now.
Right.
And we have to, well, you maximize right. this. But the Broncos aren't in an open window right now. They're not going to be in an open window until they either go out and trade for Deshaun Watson or establish that Locke has improved in his third year. Then that's when you open a window. They're not in a window right now.
I think if you look at Arizona, and I'm buddies with their general manager, Steve Keim, and you look at where he's at, then it's put up or shut up. Remember, he fell victim to the Hall of Fame 5 class, and he drafted Josh Rosen, and Josh Rosen took a dump in his helmet. Now he's on his 9th team or whatever it is, you know. He went from there to Miami to Tampa to San Francisco. I think he just re-signed with San Francisco. This guy's been in the league for 3 years, and he's been on 4 different teams as a number 9 overall pick. So then you dumped him, and then you got, you know, then you dumped your coach after one. He dumped his coach after 1 year, Steve Wilkes, 1 year. Got Cliff Kingsbury because he ran the offense that Kyler Murray ran, and got Kyler Murray number 1 overall, and hasn't made the playoffs. So Steve Keim, like I said, Steve Keim's a buddy of mine, and you know, and he'd be the first to tell you, hey man, if I don't produce, then I deserve to get the heat. And I guarantee you right now, he's in a different place. It is push all the chips to the middle. Compare him to where George Payton is right now. George Payton's in a feeling out process. Where are we? What do we have to do? This is a 2 or 3 year rebuilding process. I know where I'm at. I'm not going to spend good money on aging players. You're right. I need to get young. I need to get better across the board. I need to get younger and better across the board, especially on the defensive side. And Von Miller doesn't fit either of those, younger or better.
Yeah, the so-called Patriot way has lost a little bit of its luster with what Brady went on to do. But there is something to the idea of I'd rather give up on a player a year too early than a year too late. And even if you bring back Vaughn for this year and he has a productive year, unless you're going to tell me that he can play at a very high level for at least another 2 years, it just doesn't make sense. And again, a guy who's going to be 32 coming off a serious enough leg injury to keep him out for an entire season. He bases his whole game on explosion, and that was severely compromised with this injury. You don't know if he's going to come back. I just think the Broncos are in a position right now. They're not a contending team right now. And by the time they are a contending team, Vaughn will be done. So I think it's just time better to move on now than draw it out. We got the Morning Brew coming up next. All right, so what Nikola Jokic did last night was cool. No doubt about it. But the real test is tonight. Tell you why next.
Good morning!
Morning!
It's time for your Morning Brew.
Things are gonna get weird.
You're gonna keep lightning, and you're gonna crack thunder!
Okay, this guy needs coffee and cooler stat.
You know what can really help you sort through these important issues?
What?
Orange mocha frappuccino!
Damn, Jimmy. This is some serious gourmet.
Let's get it on.
Stafford back to throw. And he dumps it off. It's picked off by JJ across the 15, 10, 5. Rock and roll. Watt, pick 6.
Texans radio. JJ Watt going to Arizona. It wasn't Pittsburgh. It wasn't Green Bay. It wasn't Buffalo. Any of the teams that were immediately speculated to be a likely landing spot for J.J. Watt. I don't know. Is this just a money grab on his part? Instead of going to a place where he could go chase that elusive ring, he just followed the money? You think a little less of him?
No, I don't know what all the decisions were. His wife is a big-time soccer player, I believe. So is this a place she can go train year-round and be ready for... Isn't she a USA soccer player? I know she's an athlete. So I don't know if this had more to do with their lifestyle and with her career. And, you know, again, I don't know. I think there's always more to it than meets the eye. And then Do you believe that the Arizona Cardinals are in a place? First off, I'm sure DeAndre Hopkins is basically recruiting you.
Right.
And you're buddies with DeAndre Hopkins. And, you know, you would trust, based that you guys played in the playoffs together on multiple occasions, you would trust DeAndre to say, hey, man, we're close. We just need some pieces. Like, I think there's more to it.
You're J.J. Watt. You've got, this is your maybe one and only chance to pick your destination to put that crowning achievement on your career, a Super Bowl championship, and you think Arizona is the place to go get it done? Come on. He took the money.
Well, what if...
Which is, I guess there's nothing wrong with that.
Well,
but,
what if he didn't have an offer? What if he didn't have an offer from Kansas City? What if he didn't have an offer from Pittsburgh and he wanted to be settled? What if he had no offer from Baltimore? I mean, I don't know what his market is.
You don't think he could have taken less money to end up in one of those places?
It depends on the cap. It depends on what they want to do.
Only team that reached out to J.J. Watt was Arizona?
No, I'm sure there's multiple teams that reached out to him, but maybe he didn't feel like he had any better chance with the teams that... I mean, we just don't know who... We don't know who made offers to him.
Apparently Cleveland and Indy offered Watt more money. And the Titans.
Okay, well, do any of those teams... Those are four teams with as much aspiration to win a Super Bowl as the Arizona Cardinals, Indy and Cleveland and,
I put all three of those teams ahead of Arizona when it comes to having a chance.
Well, because they were in the playoffs. But ceiling wise, let me ask you this. Who's got the higher ceiling? Kyler Murray or Baker Mayfield or Ryan Tannehill or at the quarterback position or
Oh, there's your dreaded word, potential. I don't know. Kyler Murray regressed over the second half of last year.
They quit running the ball. I do not know, man. I don't know that any of those teams are, I would say they probably have a little bit of better chance just because of the divisions they play in. I mean, the NFC West is a beast, but I don't look at any of those teams and say, wow, they had way bigger chance to go to the Super Bowl in Tennessee than he does in Arizona. Come on.
Next on the Morning Brew.
Oh, tough take by Carter. Well defended by Jokic, who just squeezes him out. Kind of an underhand cross-court pass. Kobe probably should have had it. Barton comes out with it and two.
NBA TV there. The Nuggets beat the Bulls. Boy, the importance and how special Jamal Murray and Nikola Jokic can be as a duo. They scored 25 of the Nuggets' 29 fourth quarter points as they held on to beat the Bulls. Jokic had 17 points in the fourth. Murray had 8. Jokic, another MVP performance, but that was all well and good. You know what matters? Tonight, they play Milwaukee. They play Giannis. And let's face it, these are the matchups where if Jokic wants to be the MVP, he needs to go toe-to-toe with a guy like Giannis, and they'll play him and beat him.
Yeah. Well, but more importantly, Mike, and this is stupid, but this is true. Not only does he need to go toe-to-toe with him and outscore him and they need to beat Milwaukee, but he has to be loud doing it. You know what I mean? Like, you've got to have some slams. You've got to have some... You do. Because what will happen, Mike, what will happen even if they go toe-to-toe and let's say if they go toe-to-toe and the points are the same, everything's identical, and let's say that Giannis is just loud doing it, if you go to SportsCenter and watch the highlights, you know what you'll see? Even if the Nuggets win, let's say they win by 2, you'll see 3-1 Giannis highlights of him slamming, turn around, just, you know, go to the hoop, and you'll see 3-1 highlights Giannis over Jokic, even if Jokic outscores him by 6.
That's sad. That really is. Because you know what? There was a time, Larry Bird was a 3-time MVP. His game wasn't loud. It was never loud.
It was loud when he was splashing threes. And Larry was in your face. Larry was a Richard Nine.
Okay.
And so that was
how he was loud?
Yes. That was part of the
bravado, his brashness?
Yes. That was part of the way But again,
still, there was a time when a Jokic type game was really appreciated.
Yeah, it's not.
If it's now, it's all about being loud. Well, that's an indictment. That's a referendum on the NBA.
But that's the NBA.
And the people cover the NBA.
That's the NBA, and that's the way. Yeah, that's the way it works.
Next on the Morning Brew.
Kind of repeating the same mistakes we made. We had way too many turnovers. It wasn't a, you know, like we're bringing it on ourselves. It felt very similar to the Minnesota game a few games back at home. It's the scoring chances that they had are coming off our mismanagement of the puck.
I'm glad Jared Bednar talked about that. The Avalanche had a 2-0 lead, and then they gave up 6 unanswered goals, 5 before an empty net, in losing to the Sharks last night, 6-2. And I know the apologists, the Avalanche apologists will be, well, they were down 3 defensemen. And they were. You know, they were down Cale Makar, Bo Byram, and they're without Eric Johnson. Fine. But if you look at a lot of the goals and what led to the goals, it was just sloppy, lazy, not paying attention to detail, plays from forwards.
Yeah, there was a lot of neutral zones, just turnovers.
Turnovers. Grubauer, on a night when you are a little bit shorthanded defensively, you need your goaltender to really stand up. You know, Grubauer was soft on a couple goals. You know,
gave up a couple big rebounds.
Yes.
Here's the thing that always drives me crazy. Like, when you're down talent like that, because some would tell you Makar's, you know, from a talent standpoint, is right there neck and neck with a guy like McKinnon. I know he's a different position, but, you know, just how talented that kid is. He's great talent. When you're down that amount of talent, Mike, you can't out-talent the other team. You know what you got to do? You got to out-physical the other team.
Out-work the other team, yeah.
And how many times was there a puck that came across the ice and there's nobody bodying up a San Jose Shark? Taps it in.
Yep.
Gets a nice shot off. Like, when those are the situations, man, you better muck it up.
Yeah.
In front of your goal. You know, you can't let guys just skate free.
Yeah, if Grubauer's going to give him a juicy rebound, somebody's got to be there to clear it instead of having a Shark player crash the head and score.
Yeah, you
got to
have
goal.
A body on people, yeah. If that's the case, don't you?
One other story, Rockies lose 10-0 to the Dodgers in Cactus League action. Get used to that.
Well, so much for that. I thought they were going to win the Cactus League. I thought they were going undefeated.
Well, they're 1-1. They're 1-1.
Still got a chance. You're telling me they still can win the Cactus.
They can. They are still mathematically alive. That'll do it for the Morning Brew. Bring that to you each and every morning at 6:30. What does the J.J. Watt signing mean for Von Miller? We'll ask our Bronco insider, Mike Kliss, next. Mike Kliss is our 9 News Bronco insider. And his weekly visits with us, which we look so forward to, are presented by Bet River Sportsbook, McGill's Hotel and Casino. Morning, Michael.
Guys, I'm starting to get invited into these NCAA hoops, tourney bracket type of deals.
Yeah, do them.
Everybody's playing. They're going to have 64 teams, yeah. All that.
68.
Okay.
Yeah.
68, okay.
68, yeah.
Double playing games, right?
All right, everybody. Who are the top 4 this year?
Have no idea, Mike.
And, it does. Oh. Right now it looks good, though, for CU and CSU getting in, too.
Yeah.
Oh, good.
Yes. Oh joy. I tell you, you know what?
Have them go to the Final Four.
When you're so locked into the NFL, it's hard to follow everything else, right? Hey, speaking of being locked into the NFL, nobody had J.J. Watt going to Arizona. J.J. Watt in Arizona, 23 guaranteed, 15 and a half a year. What does this do for Von Miller?
Makes it tougher to work out a pay cut, I would think. We'll have to see on the contract, first of all, you know, to make sure it's an honest 31 and honest 23 guarantee. You know, some of that can be injury guarantee. So you have to see that first before you do it. I know, I do know George Payton was hoping, maybe before the Watt contract, was hoping to bring a Vaughn back at a number less than $18 million a year, which is what he has left on his contract. We'll see what that means now. You know, you would have to, if J.J. Watt got 15 and a half, I think Vaughn could argue that he deserves 15 and a half. You know, sometimes on these third contracts, you still go back to where they went in the draft, which Vaughn was number 2, and J.J. Watt was number 11. And while J.J. Watt was more productive in the first 5 years, I think he was three-time Defensive Player of the Year. Vaughn never has won that award. But in the last 5 years, J.J. Watt has been a shell of himself because of injuries. Vaughn was more himself up until this past year. You know, maybe the last, he fell off 2 years a little bit. I still think Vaughn, and I had heard this before from other agents, if Vaughn hit the open market, he could get a 3-year, $45 million contract. That's what a couple agents told me. And while I kind of shook my head and was surprised by that, I think that's probably dead on right now.
Mike, doesn't George Payton have to weigh the whole idea of where is this franchise right now? And where is it and how long will it take for it to be a contending team again as you try to factor in whether or not you want Von Miller a part of this? Does it make sense to bring back Von Miller if by the time you're a contending team again, he's basically done or he's in serious decline?
Yes, and that is the toughest thing here is everybody gets excited about Von Miller. You know, like in Arizona, they're really excited about J.J. Watt right now. They're not getting J.J. Watt of, you know, 2012 or 2013. This is not the same J.J. Watt that Vance Joseph is going to get. He's still a good player. He's still going to make Arizona better, but not as much as they think. The Broncos have so many holes on defense. I mean, it really deteriorated as the season went on last season. It's just not Von Miller. But as far as where they are overall, it's interesting. You know, if they get Deshaun Watson, they have one set of expectations. If they don't get Deshaun Watson, then yes, it's looking like a two-year project before their Final Four contention. If they get Deshaun Watson, it still may be 2 years before their Final Four contention. I know this. I think they're trying to move this offseason to where they can get in the playoffs. You know, I think George Payton and Vic Fangio want to get this team to where they're finishing 9-7, 10-6 in 2021. Not sure they can do it. Obviously, they got a lot of work to do to get there, but I do think that's their goal for this season.
Mike, you mentioned Deshaun Watson, and you know I want to look at Deshaun Watson in general for the Broncos. Like this J.J. Watt thing, I guess rattled me a little bit in that nobody had him going to Arizona. You know, everybody had Cleveland, Buffalo, Tennessee, Kansas City, Baltimore, Pittsburgh, right? All the places that made sense. Nobody
Green
had
Bay.
Him. Yes, Green Bay. Nobody had him in Arizona, and he goes to Arizona. I worry about Deshaun Watson. You know, everybody's got, hey, the Broncos are one of the leaders in the clubhouse. What are the odds? What are the odds that happens? Like, that does this happen before the draft, and are the Broncos really in one of the top teams in regards to the Deshaun Watson frenzy?
I don't think it's going to happen. Well, before the draft, right now, let's just go free agency. It doesn't look like it's going to happen before free agency. And really, you a guy like Deshaun Watson, that's when you want to make that move. You want Deshaun Watson settled by March 17th. So you can go get your plan B quarterback in free agency or trade. And then you want to fill as many holes as you can in free agency. The Broncos do have some spending power, and then you want to fill in other needs, through the draft. You know, cornerback is a position that they desperately need. I think they get one in free agency, maybe not a top flight guy, maybe, mid-range type free agent as at cornerback, and then you maybe use that number 9 pick on a corner would be perhaps the ideal thing, but I know this, when John McClain put out his article saying Houston needs to trade Deshaun Watson, all the thinking there is Houston needs to do the deal with Jets at number two, or Miami at number three, because that's where you can get a young quarterback to replace Deshaun Watson. You get Fields or you get Zach Wilson to come in and replace. So those two teams would seem to be in front because of where they are in the draft. Carolina is going to be very aggressive at Deshaun Watson. So I think the Broncos right now seem to be sitting fourth. I think as we've reported all along, the Broncos, Watson has said he's interested in the Broncos, hearing what they have to say. I think the Broncos would be interested in putting together a package for Deshaun Watson if he does become available. It is a long shot overall, starting with, you know, the fact that he's not available. And I'm not sure he will ever become available. I wouldn't put the Broncos' odds as great, but I would put them in the hunt.
All right. That's what we're here for, your information. Thank you, Mike.
Thanks, guys.
Mike Liss, our 9 News Bronco Insider, presented by Bet River Sportsbook, McGill's Hotel and Casino. As always, a lot to unpack from that. Coming up, is it important to have Vaughn finish his career as a Bronco? Is that important to you as a fan? That's next.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors understands sometimes bad things happen to good people. That includes bankruptcy. If that is you, you can still purchase a car at Siltahar with zero money down in almost all cases. This is a program they've been doing for 25 years. The dealership itself is almost 60. Family-owned business that is proud of their reputation and proud to be a huge part of the Broomfield community. If you file bankruptcy, Siltahar Motors can help. Zero down and no payments for 45 days in almost all cases. Contact Team Zero Down at 720-446-9222 or online at sthmotors.com.